Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Take your Bibles this morning while you're still standing for the reading of God's Word, 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to pick up at verse 16. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil." Father, I thank you for the Word of God, and I thank you for the Spirit of truth. And Father, I pray that, Lord, even today, give us faith. Lord, I pray, give us faith for your Word today. Lord, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, Father, we thank you today. Give us ears to hear, Father, everything that your Word has. And Father, I pray, Lord, let this be a month of vision, a month of planning. Lord, your people are destroyed for a lack of vision or a lack of knowledge. So, Father, I thank you for the revelation of your Word. And, Father, I thank you for, Lord, even today, Lord, just great vision, great vision to see everything that your Word has for us. Lord, give us a heart to receive today, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name. You may be seated this morning. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, good to be in the house with you this wonderful 9 a.m. service. And, you know, as we go into Thanksgiving week, I tell you, last night was so interesting because I had begun to prepare a message yesterday, and you know, I don't even know what time it was this morning. I think my wife didn't sleep very well because I was between the couch and the bed, and I was just trying to find a place where I could just get to sleep last night. And I think she said when I finally went to sleep, I started snoring. And I think, you know, and that's never nice. That's never a good thing for your wife to have to deal with that. But that was, and so I don't even know what time I actually made it to bed. But I would say that the Lord began to, you know, I wouldn't say it was a wrestling with my heart, but I begin to think about thankfulness. And I begin to think, you know, how thankful I am as a Christian and as a believer for everything that's been done for me. And I was, you know, again, I was just running through multiple things. And every time I tried to, I don't know, have you ever just tried to close your eyes and go to sleep? And it's like your mind is just one thing after another thing after another thing. You know, you can control that. Please help me. Please, I want to help you understand this. You can actually shut things down. You have the power, amen, to shut things down. But for whatever reason, last night I was going from one thing to another thing to another thing, and every time I went another direction, I began to see where God had intervened in my life over a situation or a circumstance, and all I could think was, Lord, I'm thankful for what you've done. And I as you go into this week, you know, and as you spend time with family, I want to encourage you, find things to be thankful for. If there's one thing that you get out of this message today, find things to be thankful for. With your family, with your friends, with your cousins, your uncles, your aunties, whomever it may be, find, you know, if for me, I don't have any intermediate family living, but I have family. I'm thankful for my family. But remain thankful, and remain in thanks is such an important thing. Let's jump into this passage of Scripture this morning. See, rejoicing, it says, always be joyful. Always be joyful. Do you guys know that joy is a choice? That choosing to rejoice is a choice. Wow. Pastor, I have the ability to choose whether or not I'm sad, whether or not I'm happy, whether or not I'm joyful. I have the ability to be able to choose. I'm giving you just a nugget today that even the scripture says always be joyful. But I want you to see out of the word today that, you know, rejoicing, you know, do you understand that you can rejoice even when tough things happen? I tell you, there have been times in my life where my greatest moments of rejoicing and my greatest moments of joy have been held through some of my greatest trials. Take your Bibles, go to James. I want to show you something out of Scripture. James 1. James 1 here. Because you can remain as a joyful Christian even when there are circumstances that are taking place in your life that maybe might even seem that you have no control over. But the book of James says this, James 1, 2, James 1, let's just go there real quick, James 1, verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So I want you to understand that you there is a true joy of the Lord, that you can remain in the joy of the Lord even when things are happening, things are spiraling. You know, I don't know if anybody's following the news. I had a chance to watch Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth. And if you've never watched any of his videos, but one of the things he covers is end time Bible prophecy, and it's good. You know, one thing that you need to hear even this morning: don't be naive. Don't be naive as a believer in thinking that, you know, everything's just perfect. Okay, and I'm not meaning that to be negative. I'm not doom and gloom kind of guy. That's not what I'm talking about. But you need to remain diligent and vigilant to what's happening in the world today. You guys understand that even right now, when you begin to hear things about Russia moving into the southern tip of that part of the world, this is Bible prophecy. These things that are happening are recorded as Bible prophecy in the Bible. Now, you know, Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39, those are great chapters to read, but, you know, you'll even find that when it talks about the great land in the north, it's referring to Russia. Rush was the name, but it's referring to Russia. So don't be naive to think that things aren't happening. You can look at even in the United States to see, you know, even over these last 4 or 5 years, how things have moved very, very, very directly. Where there's been the I'm recording this, but you know there's been the process of even our own government to come in and tell church how they should operate. And to tell worship teams the only way that you can sing on stage is if you wear a mask. Now, how does that sound? That on a Sunday morning that we're called to be joyful, we're called to be, you know, that we come up here and we put a mask on and we try to sing like this. Could you imagine trying to muffle Brother Kali, you know, singing with a mask? I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't imagine that, you know, that we wouldn't have the ability to come in and rejoice. So please understand, you can choose to rejoice. You can choose to know that whatever trial, whatever's happening, you can choose to draw your line in the sand and say, I'm going to stay in joy. I'm going to choose to stay in joy. You know, listen, even when people around you may not be joyful, you know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Even when people around you aren't joyful, you know, you bring something to a room. You bring something that's on the inside of you. You know, what do people that are depressed, angry, mad, upset, when they're around joy, what do? They leave. They will run away from it a lot of times, or they'll get disgruntled, or they'll be whatever, or uptight. Because they... You know, people that hate joy, they hate being around it. People that despise, you know, being thankful, they despise being around things that are encouraging. And, you know, can I tell you, that's just a trick. That's a plan of the enemy to pull people away. And I'm talking to the body of Christ today. So you remain. You choose to remain. You remain in the joy of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's what my help comes from joy, from thankfulness. Amen. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith. What does it do? It produces patience. You know, I tell you, you know, has anybody's patience been stretched this year? has there been any kind of a stretching in your life? Can I tell you that stretchings are a thing that, you know, I'm not saying they're normal, but, you know, what happens when there's a stretching? What happens when there's things that are going on? You know, you step into it and say, no, I'm going to remain. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to allow the enemy to take me out. I'm not going to allow people to dictate my life. I'm going to choose to remain in the Lord. Amen. I'm going to choose to remain in the Lord. You know, I want to say this because it's so important. Be consistent with the Lord in joy. Be consistent with the Lord in joy. Don't be like a yo-yo up and down. Don't just be joyful because it seems like the right thing to do on a Sunday morning. You remain joyful Monday through Friday, 7 days a week. You remain in that place. You know, listen, it's... We don't just do this when we're around one another. You know, we do this when we're around the world. We do this when we're around things that want to squelch the thankfulness and the joy of the Lord. Amen. So be consistent. Be consistent. Look, just stay in James real quick there. James 1, you know, in verse 5. You know, because the Bible says this. See, it's so important that you understand that the Word is here to give us strength. The Word is here to give us knowledge of who God is. Because it goes on to say in verse 5, it says, if any one of you lack wisdom. It got hot in here really quick. Is it hot? Anybody hot? Is it just me? I must be preaching. I must be preaching something. Amen. Verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, verse 5, James 1, 5, it says, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to you liberally and without reproach. Will God give you joy? Will joy manifest itself in your life? Absolutely. You know what? You rejoice. You know how you get joy stirred up at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning? You start clapping your hands. You start dancing. You start thinking about Him. You start putting your focus on Him. You know. Maybe you come in. Nobody ever comes to church with a thought or a problem, right? That never happens. Nobody ever comes to church that way. Everybody's, you know. But can I tell you that you can turn things around in your life? People don't think they have the power over their own. See, that's one of the problems. People don't think they have power over their own lives. They allow their life to be determined by situations or circumstances. You know, you don't allow your life to be determined by other people, other people's opinions, or even this world. Choose. Everybody say choose. Because, you know, what we're talking about today, even out of this passage of Scriptures, these are choices that you have to make as a believer. You know, you choose. You choose to rejoice. What does choosing to rejoice look like? It means that when Minister Lee Howe, when they get up here and they start playing, I choose to rejoice in the Lord, and I will rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. I rejoice. What does that do for my spirit? It stirs things up. What does it do for my mind? It begins to align my mind to God. And it begins to pull me into a place where, hey, that problem isn't so big now. That situation isn't so big now. But, you know, when you leave, you remember those moments where your mind got refreshed and your mind got renewed. You don't leave here and just go pick up. You pick it back up. I want to show you this because this is what this is what Paul's talking to us about, because you can remain continually in these things. You don't have to leave them. You can fall into a trial, but you can still have joy. Are you with me this morning? You can fall into things, but I'm not saying you fall into things. There can be attacks on your life. There can be there, there, The enemy's resilient. But, you know, please catch this, because, see, this is the problem with the body. We right now need to have the clear revelation that the enemy is put under my feet. Quit giving credit to the enemy by opening your mouth and giving him glory. Give God glory. Don't give place to the enemy. Where is the enemy? He remains under my feet. Well, Pastor, you do. See, it's not about the things. It's about where he belongs and where he's at. So we don't breathe. We don't breathe a life, you know, in into the enemy's plans. We curse and rebuke the enemy. Amen. Amen. James goes on to say, he says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives all liberally without reproach, and that will be given to him. So if you lack wisdom and joy, ask the Lord about it. Talk to him. He will grant you wisdom to understand the things of the word. Do you lack wisdom in anything? Ask the Lord. Do you need the wisdom? You ask. You go to him and you ask. See, a lot of times the reasons why we can get into the things of focusing on the temptations and trials of life and focusing on those is because we forget to ask the Lord. We forget to develop a relationship. See, everything goes back to relationship. I said it on Wednesday night. When you're struggling in something, you've got to go back into relationship. You've got to go back into building a foundation. Your foundation is your relationship with him. You go back into that place. No. What? And that's what I was doing last night. Oh, Jesus, help me. You know, I thought I knew what I wanted to preach, but even this morning, God was breathing on this message. When I, you know, at 4 o'clock when I went to bed, I was like, how? You know, he's breathing on this because I know God wants his people released. But, you know, listen, please hear this morning. You have to play your part. You have to play your part. Too many people will wait. I'm just going to wait on God. No. I don't wait to rejoice. I jump into it today. Amen. I don't wait for the right song to be played up here for me to start rejoicing. I don't wait for God to move me. I don't wait for God to position me. I position myself. I get into the place where God calls me to be. Amen. Amen. I guess I felt like preaching this morning. Hallelujah. James goes on to say, he goes on to say, but let him ask in faith without doubting. See, there's a condition here, without doubting. Lord, I thank you that you're going to give me joy. I don't doubt that you're going to give me joy. I don't doubt that you're going to give me joy. Lord, I believe that you're going to give me joy. Lord, I'm walking in joy. I don't doubt. How do I stir that up? Like one example today. I'm giving you one great example. Rejoice. I'm not talking just about on a Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. when we do worship time. What does your rejoicing look like outside of church? You know, listen, if you listen to 27 Christian songs that are depressing, and you know, please hear me. There can be depressing Christian songs. If that's what your playlist is every week and you're coming into church to try to rejoice and break through, you'll have a hard time because your mind's been filled up with, you know, it's going to be a tough week, and you'll be singing that song. You'll be playing that song over and over. You know, it's a tough week and things are tough in the Lord. You know, what you put yourself around is what you will become. So you put yourself in a, you know, I'm victorious, amen. I am this. I am this in Jesus. You know, and Minister Lee Howe's been with us many years now. But it's why we don't play K-Love's Top 20. There are songs on there, yeah, that we'll listen to. I'm not against K-Love, you know, so please hear me today. I'm not against Christian music. But every song that's sung doesn't edify God. There's a problem in music today that what we sing edifies the problem and not our God. You guys trekking with me this morning. You pay attention. You know, and one of the things we did many years ago, I remember Miranda sitting with the worship team when we were first starting, and she said, just grab a piece of paper and write down the lyrics of that song. And as people begin to write down the lyrics of that song, they were like, you know, singing it's one thing, right? You know, because you can get the beat, you catch the beat of a song, right? You that's a good yeah. But then all of a sudden you get to the lyrics and you're reading that lyrics. Oh, that's not good. That's not so good, because what it does is a song can edify or lift up the problem or magnify the problem. See, God's given me He's given me clarity that I can see my you can't see yourself as the world. When you try to connect and you try to look like the world, you know, even as a Christian, there'll be a pull in your spirit. Don't look like the world. Don't think like the world. Amen. James goes on to say, for I guess I could have just stayed here. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man. I can't come in here and have joy. Please hear me. I can't come in here and rejoice and be all happy and leave church What does the Bible say here? It says this man will have nothing. It's not my word. It's God's word. You don't be double-minded. You know, that's why I said, when I'm talking about you choose to rejoice. You choose to put it on. You're not double-minded. I'm not going to be double-minded. So what I'm saying today out of the Word, and you'll see this, what Paul's talking about is that you can remain in this. You can remain in joy no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance. You can remain in joy. Pastor, do you ever have anything I've had. Do you ever have anything that goes wrong? Yeah. Yeah. You ever have things you have to contend for? Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, there's times I've cried in prayer. I mean, more recently, I've cried a lot in prayer. Praying for the church. The burden that, you know, God's placed. I'm saying it's not a burden. But you feel the weight of things. You feel the weight. You feel the weight of church. You feel the weight of people's hearts. And does it cause you to cry? Yeah, it causes me to cry. But I go back to this place. I go back to the Word, and I go back to this place where it says, "Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice." Amen. Amen. That was number one. Number two, pray without ceasing. You know, I'll say this because, you know, out of Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones up, or dries the bones. That was Proverbs 17:22. You know, a merry heart does good. It's like medicine. You know, there's so much research out now about joy. You know what joy, is that mine? That might be mine. Sounds like my alarm going off. It's probably still on snooze. yeah, it's probably still on snooze. But there's so much research out about a merry heart and about joy. It cures disease. You have a healthier life. You guys with me? You have a healthier life. You're able to put things in order when you have joy. Pastor, do you mean that joy can solve my depression? Yeah, it can. Do you mean joy can? Do you mean that joy and you know is like medicine to my body? Yeah, it's like medicine to your body. So you know, I don't fight for joy. I receive it. I walk in it, and I choose to. It's a choice. Please hear that this morning. It's a choice that I choose. I choose to remain in joy. I'm not a sad person. I mean, my family would all tell you. Like, I don't think my kids have ever seen me. You know, I'm not saying that I can't be sad. My wife's probably seen me sad, but you know, something can happen, and I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to come back into that place called joy. Amen. Number two, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Always be joyful. NLT, the Bible says, never stop praying. Never stop praying. You know, Christians, you know, we're called to pray continually. Think about this for a second. You know, we can't bow our heads, close our eyes, and fold our hands without ceasing. Everything is an action. So we understand the joy, receiving the joy of the Lord. You know, can I show you something out of Scriptures? That prayer is a choice. That the Bible says here, pray without ceasing. Now, I'm not going to get into just necessarily praying in the Spirit today, but Jude 1:20 says, build yourself up in the most holiest faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. It's one of the ways that, you know, you know, I've learned throughout my life that when I don't have anything to say or know what to say, I have the ability to pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray without ceasing. But I believe that God is... And I believe Paul had tapped into this, but I believe God, you can have such a God conscience in your life that when you wake up in the middle of the night, the first thing that's on your mind is what? The Lord. Anybody with me? you can pause for a moment, be driving down the road, and there the Lord is. But I want to say something to you today. You have to keep that stirred up. You have to keep that. See, when you become born again, your spirit becomes alive. Your spirit becomes alive, and what your spirit man is doing, your spirit man is wanting to connect all of this right here. Your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion. Your spirit man. You know, I think your spirit man, what he's doing, he's ministering to your soul. That there's an alignment. There's things that are taking place where your spirit begin. You know, you ever just groan in the Lord? You don't even know, but you feel something from your spirit. That's the Lord. It's the stirring up of the Lord in a person's spirit. Pray without ceasing. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 6. Pray without ceasing. You know, I want to say something about prayer because, you know, many times, I don't know why people kick so hard against prayer, but they do. It's the one thing that builds up a believer. It's the one thing that builds up a Christian. It's the one thing that will align. It's the one thing that people want to reject and push away from because they ain't nobody gonna teach me how to pray. I do it my way. There's a truth in that. There's a truth in that, but. I will say this, the one thing that I didn't know how to do the first part of my Christian walk, and I'm not assuming everybody was like me, was I didn't know how to devote myself towards prayer. I didn't know how to. My prayer life lasted about 2.5 minutes. And the only time I went to God was when I needed something. See, people aren't like that today, right? The only time I go to God is when I need, you know, people don't, you know, you know. God, help me, help me, help me. Lord, I need. But somewhere along the line, I remember, honestly, it was when I was in Hana. I remember we were in a, and Minister Lehigh, Minister Mar might remember this. I don't know if our kids remember. I know Miranda will, but I remember we were in a meeting with Pastor Jonathan, and we were in a house. And we got the word, and we started going through the Word, and we started praying points out of the Word of God. And something in me shifted. And I said, I've never done this before. I've never taken the Word and use the word and prayer points to pray and go to God. And you know, now we have prayer points and we teach that, and we have prayer points around prayer and fasting and all that. But it was like, to even at that moment to be in that prayer meeting in my life, something shifted. Something shifted, because it was like, man, I was struggling to get into prayer for even 10 or 15 minutes. And now we've been praying for 3.5 hours, and it doesn't even feel like we've been here very long. Don't kick against prayer. Because the enemy, can I be honest with you, the enemy wishes you'd be stupid. Don't tap into this. He'd rather you be dumb, be ignorant, be ignorant of spiritual things. He would rather you be ignorant of spiritual things, but he would rather you not communicate with God. He would rather you just go through your life and be all by yourself in prayer. You know, see, there's an anointing in prayer. Some 45 years ago, when Doctor started Kings, and when his father brought prayer to Kings, would have been in the 80s. Dr. Morocco, I mean, he shares the testimony. He told his dad, he said, "Dad, I'm not an early morning person." And his dad started a prayer meeting at 4 a.m. in the morning. And he would pray for 2 hours. 2 hours. And he started that prayer meeting. Now it's been over 35 years. 35-year prayer meeting running. And you know, what's really cool is that the Marshallese now have 24-hour prayer in our church in Kings worldwide. 24-hour prayer. The Marshallese, they cover prayer 24 hours. They're praying for you. They're praying for all the extensions. But prayer was birthed through Dr. Morocco's father for Kings. And, you know, I seen a picture of Dr. praying yesterday. He's on Maui on Saturday. Of course, he hadn't been to Maui for a while. But I seen all the pastors, they had their phones, and they were singing happy birthday to him. Because it was his birthday, he was 75, I think. And but here, where was Doctor to be found in Maui at 6 a.m.? Early morning prayer. So why do I ask you guys to do it? It's because it strengthens you. And like I said, I don't know why people kick against it. I don't know why people push against it. Because if you know God can get something to you, why won't you do it? Why tap into what? Prayer is how we communicate. Can I tell you things that we've prayed for in this church now for 4 years? A prayer meeting that's been continually in this house now for 4 years. We're just now seeing those things manifest. We're seeing those things. We're seeing those things happen. You know, we started praying for property how many years ago? Three years ago. That property that I was on it 4 years ago, walked that property and was asking the Lord, "Lord, I felt something about it." Because I had been in prayer, driving all over Fairmont looking for property. I remember it didn't have it. I went to Marie, I said, "Is this the property?" She's like, "I don't think so." So we just, you know what we do? It's like a prophetic word. We just put it on the shelf. And here we were last year. I mean, the whole deal was crazy because of the amount of money they wanted for the property. You know, almost at $350,000, $400,000 they wanted for the property. The Lord said, "Offer this." Okay, Lord. So, you know, I had a set amount, and, you know, it was. And then I felt like the Lord said, "Go to this," and that's the cutoff. And I know that if I tell Dr. Morocco, this is what the Lord told me, we won't go one cent higher. There have been too many deals and too many property deals, even with his son-in-law, Pastor John, because he won't go 1 cent. I'm not joking. It won't be, you said the Lord told you this, this is what it's going to be. And I was always afraid to lock in a price with him. I don't know, because I'd be going through our own funds to try to cover the additional, But can I tell you something that you learn about prayer? You know, what I've watched take place over a period of even a year in our church and in our house is watching people that never felt comfortable in prayer, never thought that they could pray, You know, Miss Brenda yesterday and I were the only two on Saturday morning prayer call for the first 20 minutes. You know what a joy it was for me to call on Miss Brenda and say, Miss Brenda, can you pray for this? Yeah, I'll pray for that. And there she go. And, you know, it's 5 minutes, you know, and then I would pray. Miss Brenda, can you pray for this? Boom, there she took off. You know, guys, tap into prayer. Tap into corporate prayer. It's something Kings does. It's something we will always do. Tap into it. It will strengthen you. And above all else, you'll learn. You'll develop patterns in your life that you'll learn about prayer. Don't be like I was the first 10, 12 years of my Christian walk where I didn't know how to pray. I was dependent upon my... You pray, Miranda. No, you pray. You learn how to pray. You develop prayer patterns. You develop prayer strategies. As we go into a new year, I'm telling you, get ready to develop prayer strategies for your life, for your family, for yourself individually. You know, there are things that we taught our kids early on around prayer. Believe God for these things. Set yourself up. But, you know, above all else, spend time in prayer. Don't say, yeah, 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 yeah. No, spend time in prayer. Do it. Pray with, you know, I say all this because Paul's saying pray without ceasing. If you don't even have a prayer, how are you going to pray without ceasing? If you don't have and you haven't worked to develop a prayer life, how are you going to, when trials happen or when something happens, Lord help me, I need help, call the pastor. He prays. I'm being real. But you know, we're going to pray for you. I get calls from other churches now. That's the truth. We hear you're a praying church. We hear you believe in miracles. Can you come and pray? Can you go pray for this? Yeah, where are they at? Pray without ceasing. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to get through this. Guys, and I promise you, this morning, is if we catch it, we tap into these things, these things will take us higher. Amen? These things will take us higher. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. It says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions or babblings. The Bible, in another version, says babblings. As the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. So the Father knows what you need. See, the problem of it is we don't go to the guy that has the answer to the problems that we need. He knows what you're going to ask before you ask. But see, don't be a Christian that like mums the word. He knows what I need. Just if he wants to get it to me, you got to open your mouth. You got to that's the side of relationship that we're always working on. If I'm married to my wife and I take her out to dinner one time in 27 years, 26 years, am I working on my relationship with her? The answer is what? No, I wouldn't be a good husband, would I, Krista? I wouldn't be caring for her at all. And all the girls are like, you're right, you wouldn't be. So you care for the relationship. You care for your relationship with the Lord, amen. If you have the one true God that has the answers, and you're not spending time with him, you guys, listen, please hear this today. Please, please, please. If you're not spending time with him, it's hard for him. It's hard. Well, the Bible says he's not going to be able to get things to you. He's not going to be able to get things to you. You know, I love it that, you know, don't pray with just... Know what you're praying for. You know, be precise and consistent with the Lord. You know, I've been in prayer meetings with people, and Jesus, 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 Jesus. They're not praying in tongues. They don't know how to ask God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, thankfulness is important. That's an important component of God. But move things, move the dial, and ask the Lord. Talk to Him. You know, He refers to you as a friend. Anybody a friend of Jesus? I am. How do you talk to a friend? So saith the Lord. You don't just start ripping off 37 scriptures. How's your day? How you been? What's going on? What kind of car you got? You know, have a normal conversation. The Bible says here in chapter 7, it says, therefore do not be like them, for you, Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. In the manner, therefore pray. And you know, you'll see this, a model prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day our daily bread. One of the things we pray for at King's, our daily bread. Doctor said, I pray for this every day. Are you praying for your resources? Not hoping, I hope I get a new job, hope I get a promotion. Are you praying for it? There's a novel concept, right? I mean, honestly, I'm just happy with whatever the Lord gives me. Pray about what God wants to get into your hands. I mean, I've watched God promote people. Jesse, who's not here now, he's in Hawaii. But he got promoted. He would come in every 2 months. Hey, I got another raise. I just hand him the mic. Testify, Jesse. I got another raise. Why are you getting raises? I'm asking the Lord for promotion. I'm working hard. I'm being diligent to be diligent at my job. It wasn't that he was just asking the Lord. He was actually showing up early. There's a novel thought. Show up 10 minutes early before work starts. Guess who you catch the attention of? A boss. A boss says, that's a person I show up early. Because what it does is it impresses someone. You guys trekking with me this morning? I'm just throwing out some little things here. These things are so important. So important. Pray for your daily bread. Pray, believe the Lord. Are you believing the Lord for greater in your life? You know why I believe the Lord for greater? It's so that I can give more. It was a conversation I was having with the Lord last night. Lord, I'm not where I want to be in my giving. So, amen. Pray for your daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom of the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive them their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So, you know, the Bible goes on to talk about, talks about prayer, a model prayer. You'll see this in Matthew chapter 6. I don't have time to cover all that, but there's like four things right here that you can pray for very specifically out of Matthew chapter 6. But, you know, above all else, that you walk in forgiveness with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You walk in forgiveness with people. Don't harbor hatred and don't harbor that stuff in your heart. You don't want to block blessing in your life. Can I tell you that you can when you do that? You can block blessing. You can block the flow of things that come into your life. When you walk in unforgiveness and bitterness, He forgive me. I'm going to choose to forgive others. Amen. Choice. Everybody say choice. What I'm talking about today is choices. Lastly, let's cover this. Lastly, be thankful. Anybody getting anything today? Be thankful. Be thankful in all circumstances. You know, Paul said it in, you know, James 1, that when you fall into various trials, be thankful. In everything, give thanks. Everything means what? Everything. Everything. But in everything, give thanks. I don't know about you. But I am so thankful for my salvation. I'm so thankful that he saved me. I'm like beyond words. Because you know what I'm thankful? You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful because I know where I lived. You know, we're going through Ephesians. I love it because, you know, it deals in Ephesians. It's like who you used to be, who you're not anymore. Who you used to be, who you're, you know, it's a compare and contrast. Who you once were, but you're not anymore. See, I'm thankful that you know, I don't have to go back and spend time where I used to be. Don't think that you've got to reminisce. You know, you'll have friends that want to reminisce. They'll show up at your house and you haven't seen them for a while and they'll, hey, you know, man, I was just thinking about you today. I want to stop by. Hey, remember when? I don't need to reminisce. What it was like being a heathen? I know what it was like being a heathen. I don't need to know what it's like riding on the hood of a car. Never did that. Anyway, so I don't need to reminisce. Brian's over there looking all funny. So I don't need to reminisce over stupid things that I did. Right? You know, some things I really honestly are funny. Some things I can look back at and say, God, thank you for saving my life. Thank you for sparing me. That's many of you in here, right? Just three of you. Donald, that was you and me. I seen you shaking your head. Praise God. Be thankful in everything. Give thanks. This was what was going through my mind last night, and I just go ahead and stand to your feet this morning. This is what was going through my heart. Was that I was, last night I was just, this morning I guess, was just running through my mind and thinking, and as I began to look at faces, Diane, I seen you in church today. I did. I was just going through church last night in my mind. And was just looking. Was just looking in mind's eye. I was just catching it. I was just seeing it. And just thinking about the course of a year, even two and even 3 years, what we've seen the Lord do. And then I begin to think about how God has sent people to KC Fairmont, the Crabtree family. I just, it's like so amazing. You know, it's like even like for morning service, and I'm 9 a.m. service, you know, and Erica, and what, you know, Erica does, where she's downstairs with the kids. You know, we didn't know whether to even have kids for 9 a.m. service because we didn't know if we'd have kids for 9 a.m. We're just starting to build a 9 a.m. service. But we had young people in our church. We had people in our church say, hey, I'll do it. Whatever it takes to grow the church. I'll help and volunteer. I'll lead a class, or I'll do this or I'll do that. And that's been the story of this house. You know, it's been the story of where God has sent people to fill a gap. When Angela came, first time Angela came into this house, I was like, oh my, she's got a gift. And, you know, and she's so, you know, you're pleasant. You smile. You're a joy to I walk through every Sunday morning and she's there with a smile and a high five or a hug. That's who greets you at the door. Minister Mara at the other door. These are gifts to the body of Christ. But above all else, I mean, you know, from our security to our ushers to parking lot. People, Brother John, he looks at me one day and he said, "Hey, you care if I talk to Gavin about helping in the parking lot?" Yeah, go ahead. So Gavin shows up. He shows up early. He goes to the parking lot and he helps out. What's that doing? That's building something in him. He's not just sitting up here just cruising. John said, "Why don't we see if we can put him to work? Why don't we see if we can take him and put him somewhere?" See, above all else, I, as your pastor today, the worship team, they practice every week. They practice every week. This is not a performance. See, some people make the mistake that thinking that what they're doing is they're coming in here to perform. It's not a performance. They're ushering in the Spirit of God. That's why I enter His gates with thanksgiving and praise. Amen. This isn't a concert. They could put on a concert and do a wonderful job. No, this is the anointing of God. We're waving the flag of praise to usher in the Word of God. That's why when you praise, you come ready to praise. Come ready to worship. I'm going to raise my banner. I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing loud. Week in, week out. You guys have been here, what, 5, 6 years now, right? 6 years. He didn't want to play keyboard. He's a great drummer. He's a great drummer. And his son's a great drummer now. Lava's a great drummer. I sit there and watch him play drums sometimes. I'm like, I just want to get up there and I just want to do something with him, man. You know, and I'd mess him up, I know, but one of these days I'm going to do it, Lava. I'm going to catch a beat with you. I know it. But for 5.5 years, 6 years, week after week after week, they're not here to perform in front of this church. They're here to usher in the presence of God. It's not small. Thank you. And I know my wife's heart sincerely. Guys, why do we serve Him? Why do I love? Because of Him. Lehow's not doing this for me. Minister Lehow's not doing this for me. He's doing it because he loves God. The moment that he feels like he's doing it for me is the moment that he's going to be like, I'm done with worship. He does this because he loves God. You know, this worship team, you do it because you love God. You're not doing it. God doesn't need favors. God doesn't need favors. I realized this a long time ago. If I don't step into what I'm called to step into, guess what God will do? He'll find someone else to do it. This will never be repeated, this message. I can almost tell you. But if I don't do what God's asking me to do, coming up, going higher, going to another level, if I don't do it, guess what God will do? God will find somebody else. So understand something. The choice you make a lot of times is like I said, you choose to rejoice in the Lord. You choose to rejoice in Him. Joy is a choice. Amen. Everybody with me? Joy is a choice. Everybody say, joy is a choice. And let me close with this. Thanksgiving is a choice. Thanksgiving is a choice. What giving thanks does, it changes our perspective in life. Anytime that I can look at a situation and think it seems impossible, seems hard, I go back and I thank God for the areas where I know He helped me win. He helped me win.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name." And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.